I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hi, this is Allie Wentworth, host of Go Ask Allie. My listeners want more, so we are digging in. Comedian Amy Schumer.
As far as cancel culture goes, I think that the people who are the most afraid and complaining about cancel culture are the ones who are in danger of being canceled, and they need to take a look at themselves.
I agree with you.
You know, I'm not worried about it because I know my intentions and I know that I'm, like, open to evolving.
Listen to Go Ask Allie every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gangster Chronicles podcast is a weekly conversation that revolves around the underworld. From criminals and entertainers to victims of crime and law enforcement, we cover all facets of the game. Gangster Chronicles podcast doesn't glorify or promote illicit activities. We just discuss the ramifications and repercussions of these activities. Because after all, if you play gangster games, you are ultimately rewarded with gangster prizes. Our Heart Radio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Find the Gangster Chronicles podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Cavalry Audio, the studio that brought you The Devil Within and The Shadow Girls, comes a new true crime podcast, The Pink Moon Murders.
The local sheriff believes there may be more than one killer.
They were afraid, especially out in that area.
A family was targeted, most of them targeted while they were sleeping.
The Pink Moon Murders is available on February 22nd, and you can follow The Pink Moon Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and ho, 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 dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Welcome to a super special holiday edition of The Office Deep Dive. I am your host, Brian Baumgartner, and boy, oh boy, have I got a treat for you. Today, we're doing something very different, something that I am delighted to share with you. Okay, here's a hint. Ring, ring, Dunder Mifflin, this is Brian. That's right. Today, we are doing a call-in episode of the show. Who are the guests? You are the guests. And you decide what we talk about today. Get ready to laugh with me, to cry with me, and get mad with me. Well, maybe not get mad with me, but first, I want to thank each and every one of you who sent in so many amazing messages. Truly, all of us here at the office deep dive, we are at a total loss for words at how incredible and how open and how loving you have all been about the office and the podcast. I wish that I could answer each and every one of you today, but know that we listen to every single one of your messages, and they brought us so much joy. So now it's my turn. I'm hoping this episode will bring a little joy to you this holiday season. So without further ado, I would like to present to you my first call-in episode featuring probably my favorite guests of all time, you.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every moment left over from the night before.
Mr. Baumgartner, Bob Taylor calling from the middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan, Canada. Have a question for you. I was just wondering, your iconic character, Kevin, as we all know and love, you know, wouldn't want to change a thing, but if there's one thing you could change about Kevin Malone, what would it be? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, thanks, Bob, for your question. You know, I think the one thing, I've addressed this a little bit throughout the podcast, I wish that Kevin had found love. You know, I talked to Ellie Kemper a little bit. I had pitched Aaron and Kevin getting together before the start of the final season. That obviously did not happen. But I wish Kevin had found love. I wish there had been a little more victory for him in terms of his relationship. I love the storyline with Lynn when we had that. Obviously, Stacy, his fiance early on, she wasn't explored all that much. But yeah, I wish Kevin had one of those small victories in finding love.
Hi, Brian. My name is Logan Corkins. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a huge, huge fan of The Office. I loved all your interviews throughout the show, but I have a story and I have a question for you. I want to start with my story. So when I was in college, I worked for a baseball team called the Omaha Storm Chasers. They're the AAA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. And I was working on an off day. I worked in a clubhouse. I was a clubhouse assistant and I was a bat boy. But I was at the ballpark on one of our off days, and Warren Buffett happened to be at our ball field, and he was talking to our general manager. My general manager asked me if I, or told me I could ask a question to Warren. And, you know, Warren's this incredibly successful person, and all I can think about is that he had just aired, or he had just been on an episode of The Office, like a couple weeks before. So I go in, I sit down, and Warren's like, "What's your question, young man?" And I go, "Yeah, what was it like to work with John Krasinski and the cast of The Office?" And he sits there for a second. He just laughs. He's like, "Okay, well, not the question I expected." And tells me how great it was. Told me it was a phenomenal experience. My general manager is absolutely dying laughing. He's like, "You could have asked him anything, but of course you had to come around and talk about The Office." That was pretty cool. The question I had for you, though, Brian, is back in the day when you guys were filming, in the episode Office Olympics, we see all the different games that the characters played. But did you, Oscar, and Angela actually have games that you would play in accounting when you were like background characters for a scene? I'd love to know more. Thank you.
Well, Logan, first off, thank you for your story about Warren Buffett. I tell you, the day that he and Charlie Munger came on set, that was amazing. I don't know how we pulled that off or who pulled that off. But the fact that he left and you asked him that question is awesome. Now about games, you know, we get asked a lot about pranks, right? Because pranks were such a huge part of the show. Yours is a similar question in terms of games and relating to Office Olympics. You know, the boring answer is we didn't really. I mean, we played comedy games, I guess. Like, our games would be about trying to make each other laugh. That would be it. Would be about us in the deep background attempting to make each other laugh. And as we've discussed many times, we felt like there was a show within a show happening called The Accountants that we were the stars of. So we were always trying to make each other laugh and pass notes. And in fact, I have notes from Angela. Before the computers worked, we would pass notes back and forth to each other, again, in an attempt to make each other laugh, but also in character. So famously, I have an illustration. Oscar has an illustration. I think Jenna Fisher has an illustration from Angela on a post-it note, which was an invitation to Sprinkles, her cat's birthday party.
Hello, Brian. My name is Brianna, and I live in Dallas, Texas. And I know that you know this area very well as you went to SMU. So I feel like we have a connection already, knowing the same neck of the woods. So I'm going to get personal really quick. I have a funny office story I wanted to share. Sorry if it's a little bit TMI, but I think you'll get how funny this is. So about 4 years ago, I had my oldest daughter, and after I had her, everything was going well, and it came time to meet with the lactation consultant, right? So me being a very first-time mom, never having done breastfeeding before, I am in front of all these nurses, and nurses come in, and lactation consultant, and the lactation consultant says, "Do you know how to stimulate your nipple?" And I said, "Absolutely, I do." And I start aggressively flicking my nipple with my finger, to which they were both appalled and thought was hilarious. They stopped me and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, honey, what are you doing?" I said, "Stimulating the nipple." And they said, "Who told you to do that?" I said, "I learned it from the office," right? With Pam and her lactation consultant. They thought that was the funniest thing. Couple nurses go out, grab some more nurses, bring them in. They say, Brianna, tell us what you just did and how you learned it. I said, I was flicking my nipple because I learned it from the office. They just thought that was the most hysterical thing they could ever see. And to which they taught me, no, honey, be sure to roll. Stop with the flicking. So I just think that is, it just really speaks to me because the office is such a special show to me and my entire family. I just give so much credit to every single person on that show, from the casting all the way down to the acting to the heart that was put into the editing, every single detail. I wish I could have been there. I truly wish I could have been a fly on the wall to see what I think is the greatest show to ever hit television and my favorite show that I've ever seen in my life. So anyway, it was a pleasure sending in this video memo. I don't know if you'll ever hear it or not, but thank you, Ryan, for your last couple years of these incredibly special podcasts. I've listened to every single one. And thank you for your time. And thank you for sharing your love of the show with all of us. All right. Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
All right, Brianna. Well, first off, yes, I did hear your story. There's so much to unpack here. First off, hail to the red and the blue, the Mustangs of SMU. Yes, I went to SMU there in Dallas. And maybe we'll run into each other sometime when I am back. Now, it feels as though you're trying to get me in trouble. You said flicking my nipple several times. I don't know where to go exactly with that, but thank you for your story. You know, it reminds me of another story that I read about, actually, where somebody learned something from the office. It wasn't about lactation, let me be clear. But there was a guy by the name of Cross Scott, 21 years of age, back in 2019. He was an auto technician in Arizona, and he was driving down the road, and he saw a car that was pulled over and a woman who appeared to need some help. He pulled over to help her, and she was unconscious. And he had to break her window and got in and was trying to help her. He didn't have a cell phone, and he realized he needed to do CPR, but he didn't know CPR. And he thought to himself, well, the only point of reference that I have for CPR is the office. the stress relief episode, and he remembered, staying alive, staying alive, which apparently, according to the American Heart Association, is actually the correct beat for CPR. I looked that up. That is true. So at least that was accurate. So Cross did this version of CPR on the woman. An ambulance arrived 10 or 15 minutes later, and the woman survived. And they told Cross that had he not performed this CPR on her, that things would not have turned out okay. She recovered and is fine, as far as I know today. So you learned about nipple flicking. Maybe that wasn't the right way to go, but Cross Scott used the office to save a woman's life. Unbelievable.
Hey, Brian, I just want to let you know that your podcast is my absolute favorite podcast. It makes Tuesday commutes tolerable, I guess, going through traffic all the way to work and back. So here's my question. My question would be, if you can pick any character in The Office to do a spinoff show about, who would it be and what would it be about? I'm looking forward to your answer. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alex, for your question. You know, we haven't talked much about this throughout the podcast, mostly because it didn't happen. But Rainn Wilson and Paul Lieberstein, who played Toby but was also showrunner of The Office, as you know, for a while, they actually developed a spinoff in season 8, and it was called The Farm. And it was about Dwight and his beet farm. Now, remnants of that episode played as an episode of The Office called The Farm, and that was going to be the title of the spinoff. Unfortunately, NBC decided not to pick up that show, and so we never got to see more exploits from Dwight and his family on the beet farm. So, one, I think that's a spectacular idea, and one that I certainly feel would be worth exploring in the future. And the other is what I mentioned before, the accountants, Oscar, Angela, and Kevin. I think those three disparate characters working together, I've called it the perfect comedy triangle. The way the characters are drawn and how they interact with each other, I think they could work in almost any setting. So whether it was at Dunder Mifflin or somewhere else, I guess my answer number two would be the accountants.
Hi, Brian. My name is Brianne Rozier, and I live in Buffalo, New York. And this is the story of how The Office helped me graduate from high school. So in the year 2013 to 2014, I was a senior in high school, and all the students had to complete what was called a senior project. It was a semester-long class, the way that it was set up, but you basically spend 9 weeks researching a topic of your choice and presenting an argument at the end of the year. And so our teachers were encouraging us to pick something new, something they hadn't heard before. I thought, what do I really like right now? And at the time, I was obsessed with The Office. I was finally discovering it, and I was just so amazed by how it was shot differently, how it was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. I thought it was so funny. So I decided that my topic would be why The Office is the greatest show of all time. My teachers loved it, and they fought over who got to be my advisor at the end of the year because they all really wanted to see my project. And I spent the next semester researching and finding out more about what set The Office apart, why it was so popular. And this was before even the boom that it's in right now. So I was doing my own deep dives for a grade for my diploma. And at the end of the year, I presented it and I had to have a visual aid. And I decided naturally to put a stapler in Jell-O. It's a lot easier.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. If you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And you might think, I learned the secret is dental floss, and I encourage people to try it if they want to. So that is the story of how The Office helped me graduate from high school.
Well, listen, first off, Brianne, you stay in your lane, okay? I do the deep diving on The Office, and now to learn that you did it many years ago, I feel like I don't have a place right now. I don't know. This is very humbling. Listen, why The Office is the greatest show ever of all time, I think is a very worthy senior project. I hope you convinced everyone of all of your classmates and teachers of it being so. I'm glad you graduated. Thank you for that. And I didn't know about dental floss. I had no idea that that is how you suspended it. In fact, I have often wondered how you could suspend a stapler into Jell-O. I didn't realize dental floss. And even when you said dental floss, I was like, how does that work? But now I get it. You suspend it while the Jell-O molds, cools. I don't know. That's incredible. Congratulations on your project, but just stay in your lane. All right, Brianne, stay in your lane. It's a hard time for hiring. So you need a hiring partner built for hard times. That's Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process. Find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only pay for quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Office Deep Dive. Offer valid through March 31st. Go to Indeed.com/Office Deep Dive to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/Office Deep Dive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm Colleen Witt. Join me, the host of Eating While Broke podcast, while I eat a meal created by self-made entrepreneurs, influencers, and celebrities over a meal they once ate when they were broke.
Today, I have the lovely AJ Crimson,
the official princess of Compton, Asia,
Kid Ink, and Asia.
This is the professor. We're here on Eating While Broke, and today I'm going to break down my meal that got me through a time when I was broke.
Listen to Eating While Broke on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Brian, it is Keith Padine from Connecticut. You and I have a history that goes back a little bit that I remember, and I guarantee you do not. However, I was one of the blogger breakfasts at the original convention there in Scranton. I had a website called thetwocents.com at the time. I was just like this 20-something-year-old guy that lived in this little cottage on a farm where I worked a farm job. But I started covering The Office, and via MySpace, it was Jenna and Angela and Melora Hardin. I was able to get interviews via MySpace with you guys and have them be exclusive to my site. I started interviewing all the smaller characters, like Yvette Nicole Brown might be one of my favorite ones ever when she played Paris in Staples, the Staples episode with Dwight. You know, The Office was something that connected to fans in such a way, but this like changed my life. By doing this, I started getting like press passes, and I was able to be a VIP at the convention with you guys. So I was able to be at Casino Night, which was the small part, and I played poker next to Ed Helms, watched Craig Robinson sing Creep, I remember, with the band, and the Scrantones were there, you know, and then the big concert where you guys all kind of went nuts, and you guys were just having fun. And it led us all to believe that what we had hoped was true, was that you were people who were enjoying yourselves just as much as we were enjoy watching you. You were real people. You were normal, so to speak, people who were able to communicate with us and just be excited about the show. It led to so much for me. From that little website, I became a member of the Broadcast Television Journalists Association for several years, you know, covering all different shows. The Two Cents got huge. I had like 30-something writers for me for a while. But it all started because you guys were willing to communicate with your fans. And I was able to find that and write it up and do some podcasts. I did a long podcast once with Bobby Ray Schaefer. And I remember, I mean, it was insane. I was in L.A. for about 4 days for one of my best friend's weddings. And I get a phone call. And it was Bobby Ray saying, I heard you're in L.A. And I was hoping that we could have lunch. Like, I did lunch with The Office. Like, it was just crazy. We went out to Saticoy and saw the building where you guys were. It was insane. The Office totally changed my life. I'm now a dad of four out here in farm country in Connecticut, but The Office for that part of my life was such a special thing. And now to be able to listen to this podcast and relive all that and think of all these memories and all those moments and the way that you've done it so beautifully through this podcast and talking to all these people, it's been really, really special. So thank you for what you've done. I believe your birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday to you, sir. And from a person who got to stand next to you at the blogger's breakfast and thought that was probably one of the biggest deals ever in my life, thank you so much.
Keith, thank you so much for reaching out. I remember very well that blogger's breakfast. In fact, I was just back in Scranton a few weeks ago and drove by the Hilton where that blogger's breakfast took place and pointed out the window and was like, that's where we had the blogger's breakfast one morning at the convention. I think the only time I've ever been in that building. Listen, it's truly moving to me to hear your story, and I'm so glad that your experience with everybody was so positive. I remember that convention and subsequent to that, the wrap party, as being one of the best experiences of the show. We felt a special bond with the people who had such a love for the show and that traveled to Scranton, Pennsylvania. It sounds like even for you, not that close by to come and spend some time with us. We had so much fun. You know, I reference it again because it sticks with me. Andy Bernard, Ed Helms' line, "I wish I knew we were in the good old days while they were happening." That convention there, certainly in retrospect now, those were the good old days. So thank you for reconnecting. I'm so glad that the office and the connection you made with so many of us helped you at that time in your life. It truly was our pleasure. And yeah, you bring up MySpace. That was our first attempt when the show was struggling mightily to find a couple of audience members. That was our attempt to try to connect to people in a new and different way. And I'm glad to know that it worked for you. So God bless, my friend. Congratulations on your four kids and your new life now in Connecticut. But thank you for reminding me of those good old days.
Hi, Brian. Hi, everybody. My name is Karen. I'm from Bloomington, Illinois. I just wanted to share with you really quick how The Office has really influenced my life and my family. We quote it all the time. My boyfriend and I started our relationship watching The Office together, and we'll be celebrating our four-year anniversary in 2022. We quote The Office all the time. It comes up in conversation. And I was wondering if you guys have any of your favorite quotes come up all the time, or if you have any little bits of The Office that show up from time to time in your daily life. Have a happy holidays.
Hi, Kara. Thanks so much for your question. Listen, I don't know at this point if there's a day that goes by that I don't say, "That's what she said." I mean, and when I'm in a public setting, it feels weird to like self-reference the show in that way. But yes, it has become, I don't even know if daily is right. Hourly, thrice daily reference for me as well. And, you know, look, I spend a lot of time talking about chili. I don't know that there's a specific quote on that, but yes. And there is a giant text chain. Is that what you call it? Text chain? Text? Group text between me and some of my other cohorts on the show. And yeah, I would say "That's what she said" is, I mean, I don't know that anyone can say anything without referencing "That's what she said." So thank you, Kara. I'm glad things are going well for you. Congratulations on almost 4 years together. And thank you for your comments about The Office and how it has impacted your life.
Hi, Brian and Office Deep Dive crew. Having looked back on all the episodes, listened to, and the few I have waiting for me, I am reminded of all the moments where you discuss how we as fans feel so connected to the cast and characters because you have become such crucial pieces to the good, the bad, and the ugly moments of our lives. And if we are to believe that The Office is an experience of connecting and growing close with the fictional characters over thousands of minutes of watching, I believe The Office Deep Dive podcast is the experience of getting to know the humans behind the characters and the production, only to remember that the smartest, most brilliant show has already been made, and there will almost definitely never be anything better. I come away from each podcast episode with a greater gratitude for each and every human that worked to start the show and keep it running for 9 years, all those who fought to make it the best it could be. And not only is the gratitude for a show that brings my family and I together, but for the wonderful, creative, smart humans who made it worth watching more than 7 times through, except for Scott's Tots, because, well, I don't think I need to say why. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you to each and every one of you for not only creating the world's best show, but for being such kind and genuine people who made something so magical just by being yourselves.
Nico, thank you. Look, that for me was the point in this podcast, in bringing everybody back together, is for all of you to be able to hear what good people that I had the opportunity to work with for a decade, and to hear our real and true interactions together as we relived that decade of our life. Look, I'm not a reporter, right? That much is very, very clear. But what I wanted you all to be able to experience was our conversation, not about the show in an objective way, in a third-person presentational way, but I wanted you to have the experience of reliving the show through us having been there. And the fact that you appreciate so many of these people, Nico, well, you're dead on. You're dead on. And so thank you for your comments. Thank you for watching it now over 7 times. I want you to know that you're appreciated, and you are beautiful as well.
Hey, Brian, my name is Tyler B. I'm from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I am just going to leave a comment really quick on how The Office changed my life. First off, the show started roughly in 2005, and at that time I was 9 years old. And I remember, you know, every Thursday night as a kid growing up with my dad, watching The Office on NBC, and it was just something that we always bonded together over. The special thing about The Office was, for me, I came out when I was 21 years old, as a gay man, and The Office was one of the first shows on network television.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. If you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Television. If not the first one, I can't remember exactly, but that had some sort of character that resembled or represented a gay man in a network television show. And that was an Oscar, obviously, and, you know, the comedy involved. And as a kid, knowing at a young age about my life and, you know, who I was, but keeping it closeted to myself, it was a very... very special thing to see. And even though that was in my younger years, you know, just keeping that in the back of my mind that, you know, maybe one day that things could be better. And then, you know, kind of living in fear that if somebody figured out who I was, how that was going to affect and change my life. And the office was really that comfort for me. You know, every time I watch an episode, especially the gay witch hunt, which I laugh just about every single time. But I think growing up, I always had that fear of, you know, that's how my coming out experience was going to be like. So I remember the day when I first told somebody about who I was, I always feared that my experience was going to run similar to what Oscar had to go through in the gay witch hunt. So, you know, things like that. That's how it changed my life. And it gave me a lot of hope. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Tyler, thank you for calling in. I'm glad it didn't go that way for you. Look, there's so much to unpack in this beautiful story that you've told. First off, just, I hear all the time, and this is an example of, you know, you were 9, one could argue a little young, but of kids watching with their parents, sisters and brothers and family enjoying the show together multi-generationally. So that's cool to me, number one. And look, I don't know if The Office was the first show to show a gay character on network television, but I'm so tremendously proud of, one, the show, and two, Oscar Nunez and his performance. You know, he's talked about this a lot. He didn't realize that Oscar Martinez was gay when the show started. I don't know if Greg Daniels had that in his mind, but Oscar Nunez did not know that Oscar Martinez was gay. And so when Gay Witch Hunt was written and it became clear that Oscar Martinez was gay, I guess there were some people that asked Oscar, well, how are you going to play the character now that you know this? And his response was always, well, the same. This is Oscar is Oscar. And the fact that now other people know that he's gay doesn't affect Oscar's behavior at all. He is who he is and who he always has been. And I'm tremendously proud of that because I think that it would be typical for an actor or for a show to start making broad stereotypical adjustments to character based on that. And the fact that that story helped you or gave you hope for your future. I mean, it's a cliche, but that's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm proud of the show and what we at times tried to look at in the world. Truth and beauty, truth and beauty, truth and beauty, as Greg Daniels would say. And whether it be race, gender, sexuality, issues of healthcare, we tried to look at real topics in a real way, not in a stereotypical or generalized way. So, Tyler, thank you for calling in. Thank you for telling that story. And if it is true, and if it helped you in any way deal with your coming out, well, God bless you, and thank you for having the courage to tell not just me, but all of our listeners. All best, my friend.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Dutton.
And I'm Elizabeth Dutton. Oh, wait, sorry.
Zarin, do you want to say your name?
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
We're the hosts of Ridiculous Crime. People love true crime, right? The mystery, the intrigue, the human frailty.
Totally.
But what a lot of us don't like is the blood and the guts and the mayhem.
Wait. Some of us do like the mayhem.
Okay, but let's be real. There's nothing funny about murder.
Okay, that's right.
Our show gives you stories like the kidnapping of Frank Sinatra Jr. and the Max Headroom signal hijacking.
Oh, so you mean ridiculous stories like the UK cat shaver and Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos?
Yeah, stories like the dudes who stole Buzzy the animatronic whatever he was from Disney World, and the woman whose husband tried to kill her but came back from the dead and surprised him at her own funeral.
Yeah, that does sound good.
You can find this new podcast, Ridiculous Crime, all over the place. The iHeartRadio app, the Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I don't know how you live.
Ridiculous Crime.
The art world, it is essentially a money laundering business.
The best fakes are still hanging on people's walls, you know. They don't even know or suspect that they're fakes.
I'm Alec Baldwin, and this is a podcast about deception, greed, and forgery in the art world.
You knew the painting was fake.
Listen to Art Fraud on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL playoffs are here and the Super Bowl is right around the corner. You can follow the action like a fan, or you can prep like a scout if you listen to the award-winning Move the Sticks podcast. The show is hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before. After the Super Bowl, it's draft season. If you want to go in-depth on this year's prospects and learn what makes the top players stand out, there's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. We'll break down film from the professional and college games so you can know which player to look out for when the football season returns next fall. You'll learn a ton about the NFL, and I promise we'll make it fun along the way. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, look, I am just blown away by how many of you called in to be a part of this show. But more than that, how many of you called in from abroad? I mean, the amount and number of countries that we heard from, I'm touched, to say the least. So I'd like to share some of those submissions with you right now. Let's go overseas for a bit, shall we? Across the pond.
Hey, Brian, it's Ola from Oslo, Norway here.
Hi, I'm Niall Martin. I'm from Ireland.
My name is Laura Power. I am from Melbourne, Australia.
Hi, Brian. This is Tom Elliott over in the UK.
At first, like everyone, of course, I fell in love with the characters. I love Jim, I love Penn, I love Dwight. I love you, too.
I wish I could work at Dunder Mifflin. I know everyone says that, but yeah, it is true. We all want to work at this magnificent office.
I never get sick of watching The Office. I've watched it probably over 20 times back to front now, and I never get sick of talking about it. So I guess that leads me into my question for you, which is, do you think there will ever come a day where you just don't want to talk about The Office anymore? My friends and family will be the first to tell you that that won't come for me, that day won't come for me, but I'm curious to see if you think it'll come for you.
Well, first of all, thank you to Ula, to Niall, Tom, Ramiro. Thank you, Kanako. Thank you for calling in. And now to answer your question, Laura, do I think there will ever come a day where I don't want to talk about The Office anymore? Tomorrow. How's that for an answer? Tomorrow, I won't want to talk about it anymore. Now, I don't know if tomorrow will ever come, but tomorrow I won't want to. Look, I have, as you know, I have deep doven into the show now for 2 years. We have the podcast, we have the book. I've talked to everybody associated with the show. I don't know that I ever answered the question that I set out to answer, which is, why is the show now bigger than it ever was when it was on NBC? Why is it now the most watched show in television? The exploration has been pretty damn fun, though. So yeah, I'm going to stop talking about it tomorrow.
Hi, Brian and team.
My name's Liam. I'm coming to you all the way from sunny Scotland, so I apologise if you can't understand my dulcet accent. Just wanted to say that I love the podcast. It's amazing to listen to all these global superstars in my eyes sort of talk about how brilliant their time was making the show, hearing all these mad funny stories and hearing how class, or hearing how close you all were. I'm a massive fan of the US Office. I remember when it was first announced it was going to be remade, and I was one of these skeptics that you get in Scotland and the UK as a whole that, oh no, they're remaking something for America, this isn't going to work. But I think that it's got its own identity, it's got its own feel to it. The characters are completely different. And yeah, I absolutely love it. But my question is, were you expecting, well, obviously you didn't seem like you were expecting it to be a big hit in America, but after it was a hit in America, were you also expecting it to be such a massive hit across the world, and in particular places like Scotland and the rest of the UK? Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Liam, from Scotland, over across the pond. That is the worst Scottish accent in the world. I apologize to that, Liam. I mean no disrespect. Listen, we were not expecting it to be, we were not expecting it, as you said, to be a hit here. Of course, we were not expecting it to be a hit abroad. And I think, you know, what's interesting, because like you, yes, we were hearing that in the United States, by the way. Like, now we do live in a global world. So when all of the articles and people talking over in the UK about how this was a disastrous choice for America to be redoing this show, just know this, we were hearing all of those things, okay? And they were not fun. And in part, it was because I thought that the original Office, the British Office, the English Office was genius, and that Ricky Gervais was a genius. And I loved the show. But as my great friend and partner, Ben Silverman, would say, if you were going to remake something, would you want to remake a piece of shit, or would you want to remake a great piece of art? I think he has a point there. And I think that the key for us was finding what was uniquely American about the show, and what was also uniquely universal about the setup and the characters. So no, I was not. And I will tell you that I took a trip actually with Ben Silverman, not to Scotland, but based on my knowledge of geography, fairly close, down in Ireland. We were down in Cork, and I remember going into a little pub with Ben in Cork and having a number of people who were sitting at the bar turn and look at me and acknowledge that they knew who I was from our little show from across the pond, and how surprised and delighted both Ben and I were with that reception. So cheers, mate, and I hope to see you there in Scotland soon, maybe on a golf course.
Hey, Brian, this is Eve from São Paulo, Brazil. My question for you guys is, if you could go back in time and shoot one episode all over again, which one would you pick? Maybe because you had so much fun shooting it, or because you would do something different about the episode, or just because you want to go back to that specific point in time. So tell me which one.
Eve, that is a spectacular question. I have thought about this answer more than any other question I was asked, because yes, one, there are so many different ways that I can go with this. I think that where my answer settles in this moment would be Jim and Pam's wedding, Niagara. First off, it was a mess. Let me just say that. The shooting of that episode was very, very difficult because, as we've discussed throughout the podcast, the writing was changing up until basically we shot it. We were going very, very late, long hours on that shoot. But I don't know, the joy of that episode and shooting that Chris Brown walking into the chapel scene, that's where I go. I don't know. And maybe it's now seeing clips on YouTube or montages that fans have put together that typically include that scene. The look on all of our faces, the culmination of that story, and the joy we had in shooting it, as difficult as it was. If we shoot it again, I'd like it to be easier and not quite so many hours or late at night. But yeah, that for me is it. And, you know, I've told this story as well to those of you who haven't heard it, in that we actually shot at the Maid of the Mist at Niagara Falls. And my parents happened to be there in New York vacationing with some friends and went and saw John and Jenna and some of the other crew members, and they appear in that episode. They are the couple that are walking right behind Jim and Pam as they get their rain gear to walk onto the boat. So maybe I want to go back and shoot that episode again because I wish I'd gone there. I think next time I would go there and be there with my folks while we shot that scene. So that's my answer today.
Hi, Brian. My name is Kristen. I'm from Prince George, British Columbia, and I just wanted to send in this story. 2 years ago, I gave birth to my son. The labor and delivery with his birth was quite traumatic, and I struggled with postpartum depression afterwards. And I was thinking about ways that I could boost my spirits. And I remembered a family member had told me when they were struggling with depression, a counselor many decades ago had told them to listen to funny things, watch funny things, just to boost their spirits. So I was like, oh, I might as well try it. So I was on my Netflix and looking through, and my husband suggested that I watch The Office. He knows that I love Dinner Party, but he doesn't have the same love for Dinner Party as I do. So he said, oh, I don't care what you watch. If it's going to make you laugh, then you should watch it. So I turned it on, and I probably watched Dinner Party every day for 5 months. Even in my lowest days, it could still bring a smile to my face. And I'm just really grateful for those tiny moments of just happiness that The Office had brought me in those really dark days. And I'm fully recovered from the depression now, but I still watch The Office diligently, and I'm just very thankful for it. So thank you for going through and interviewing everyone. It's just been wonderful to listen to and hear new stories. So just thank you for the joy you've brought to my life.
Kristen, thank you for sharing your story with me and with all of us. I've said now many times that the greatest gift that The Office has given me is, well, stories like that. You know, we truly felt like we were just a bunch of idiots. And we were, let's be clear, a bunch of idiots trying to make people laugh. And when I hear stories like that, that this show, this band of idiots, have brought comfort during a difficult time, well, it truly Well, it clearly takes my words away and my breath away. I thank you for sharing your story. I am so glad that we, merry bunch of idiots, were able to give you some comfort in a difficult and dark time. And I give credit mostly to Greg Daniels about this. Because look, this was a comedy meant to make people laugh. They say laughter is the best medicine, right? But I think that the depth of the show, which relates to the central message of the show that Greg explains very clearly with the last line of the show, that there's beauty in ordinary things, isn't that kind of the point? And that hope, that idea, I think, is comforting, right? It is for me. So thank you for your courage to want to tell me that story. Thank you for that, because I consider that a gift to me. We all consider that a gift to all of us. So thank you. And yes, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're better now and still watching.
Hello, Office Deep Dive. I know I'm not alone in the world in saying that The Office has truly helped me through life. I'm 23 years old, and I grew up in foster care in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I've never truly felt like there is a lot of representation of youth in care in TV. Some of the trauma and hardships that take place while growing up in the foster care system manifest resilient and unique individuals that sometimes have a difficulty fitting in and feel like they can't relate to their peers. It means the world to have a character out there that has some shred of resemblance to compare to. The writing of Aaron's character and Ellie's performance felt accurate to my experience and truly made me feel seen. Thank you for all that you do on your podcast and for carrying the essence of beauty in the small things throughout your podcast from the show, and for being part of a show that brought so many people comfort.
Shauna, thank you for calling in. You know, there's a phrase that you used that I wrote down. Resilient and unique individuals who sometimes have difficulty fitting in. And you talk about that in terms of children who've gone through the foster care system, but isn't that all of us in a way? The world has a way of making resilient and unique individuals who sometimes have difficulty fitting in. I don't think that I could have described many of the characters on The Office any better than that. And maybe that, after 2 years of searching for the answer of why the show resonates with people now, maybe that's the answer. People feel seen because these characters in The Office are seen. I don't know. But thank you, Shauna. Thank you for calling in. Wow. Incredible. Thank you all so much. It got a little emotional there for a bit, but I want to thank you all, well, for sharing your lives with me, with us, really. And the fact that this show has reached so many people from so many places around the world, it's just incredible. Look, I'm a kid from Georgia. That's who I am. And so to start there and to now just be casually talking to people from Scotland and Brazil and the UK, Argentina, it is a dream come true for me. The world truly is a small place. Thank you so much for making my holidays so special. I hope that this show has done the same for you. Look, I hope this week that you get to spend some time with your loved ones. Or if not, at least spend some time with your Office family. Happy holidays to one and all of you. The Office Deep Dive is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Leng Lee. Our producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. My main man in the booth is Alec Moore. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by my great friend Creed Bratton, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Arden Marine from Insatiable and the Will You Accept This Rose podcast.
And I'm Julianne Robinson, an Emmy-nominated director of Bridgerton.
And we are the hosts of Lady of the Road, a funny and inspiring podcast where we have conversations with influential women about their lives and we get self-help advice.
Because we are always looking to improve ourselves.
True story. We talk about money, health, relationships, you name it, from inspiring women like Joan Jett, Nicole Byer, Lauren Lapkus, Retta, and more.
Listen and subscribe to Lady of the Road on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Glory Edom, host of Well Read Black Girl. Each week, we journey together through the cultural moment where art, culture, and literature collide and pay homage to the women whose books we grew up reading. It's the literary kickback you never knew you needed. Listen to Well Read Black Girl on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.